Blog Talk Radio.
AS, this is AST Radio.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to a live episode. That's right, not pre-recorded. Live episode of the Snatchback Podcast by yours truly, Arden Sports Talk here. Coming to you live from the four side, as usual. My side, my favorite side. Thank you for tuning in once again. I really appreciate it. Usually I host the Snatchback, you know, with my dude Nick at Not Nick Bond, but this week has been pretty busy. But don't worry, he will be back on the show relatively soon, as me and him will talk basketball as usual. But I just felt like this was the right time to go ahead and talk some basketball, you know. Plus, you know, considering the fact that this is a live episode, we already know that on Friday, a.k.a. tomorrow, we have the Christmas Day games for the NBA. You know, we got about how many games? We talk about five really good games that's going to be at our disposal starting at 12 o'clock all the way to about midnight, well, after midnight. So I really can't wait to discuss those games. And also just talk about what's been going on in the NBA and just really share my opinion on it, because I haven't really talked to you guys in a while about some basketball. But before we get into that, of course, announcements. Before I even get into announcements, let me just say thank you once again for just tuning in and checking out my stuff. I really appreciate it. You know, I really, really do. And I really appreciate it, especially for those that checked out the first episode of Football Jones. I mean, the numbers for that was just crazy. I really appreciate that. So expect episode two this Sunday at the same time as last Sunday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you already know a new episode of that's coming soon. I'm definitely preparing for the new year in terms of having new content ready to be created and released to you guys. You know, I'm trying to get guests for AST Presents, so I'm definitely doing that. You already know with the Football Jones, when January comes around, we're going to be talking about the playoffs all month long, every weekend, so don't worry about that. And also check out the YouTube channel, man. The YouTube channel is in the description below, youtube.com/KingArden23. Expect another vlog up by the end of the year. On Monday, I'm attending Monday Night Raw. Some of you guys know I'm a big wrestling fan, so I'm attending the Monday Night Raw event live from Brooklyn. So I'm vlogging that. And then if I don't slack off, hopefully I don't, I'm going to make sure everything's recorded and I'm going to edit. And who knows, maybe I upload it the next day after. But either way, let's go ahead and talk about some basketball, man. I have a confession to make to you guys. As crazy as this may sound, for some reason, I found myself getting more bored with the NBA. As crazy as that may sound, like, this season, I think in terms of play and things like that, I think it's been good so far. I think it's been good. I love how the Eastern Conference is more competitive again. I think that's a beautiful thing. Of course, you have Golden State doing what they're doing, and you have San Antonio and the Thunder. They're starting to catch up a bit. But for some reason, I don't know, man. I'm just getting bored by the NBA this year. I don't know whether it's because as a Cavs fan, that team was 2 wins away from the championship. Maybe I'm looking forward to the playoffs so much. Or simply put, it's, again, I'm just getting more sick and tired every year of the 82-game season. I know a lot of you guys love the 82-game season, but I've been saying for years, man, the 82-game season, there needs to be a way where we can still have enough basketball games, but the importance of games go up to the point where I feel as if it's necessary for me to watch basketball. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a reason why the NFL, regardless of all the negativity surrounding it, why people still tune into the NFL, because there's an importance to every week. You know what I'm saying? Like, we only get 20 meaningful weeks of football throughout the year on the pro level. So regardless of how negative the play is, regardless of how, you know, how much negativity off the field that's related to the NFL, you already know, look, man, we only get 20 meaningful weeks of football. We can't miss. We can't miss the NFL. With the NBA, it's like, I don't know if, should I say I take for granted, but I guess I do, because it's like, again, I know that there's going to be like freaking, like, you know, four games on every night. And I tell people, personally, my favorite season for the NBA in recent times was the 66-game season, because I liked how it was, okay, 66 games, I think it's the right number. I really felt obligated to watch these games. And plus, I love the start time. And that's another thing, too, why I would love a shortened season, because I keep telling folks, man, if you really think about it, how many times during the year the NBA really has something that is considered theirs? Like, you look at the calendar, the sports calendar, and you go, man, that's the NBA's time of the year. You don't really find many. You don't really find a lot. Like, I'll probably say, you could say June, because, you know, the NBA finals and the NBA draft. But other than that, it's like, what else? Could you really say February? I mean, you could say February All-Star Weekend, but when you say February, people are going to think Super Bowl. So it's really just June. You know, you can't say, well, October, November, and November, because the NBA's back, but the NBA's coming back right when the NFL's sitting there, you know, their critical part of the season. College football's still going on. College basketball's coming on at that time. Then you got the NHL, then freaking coming back late October. The World Series just ended. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, for me, I loved the lockout season from a few years ago because it came back on Christmas. And when you think about Christmas, as much as you think about the holidays, as much as you think about giving gifts and receiving gifts and cold weather, which is certainly not the case this year, you also think about NBA basketball. Like, that would be the perfect start for the NBA. But it is what it is. But either way, for me personally, even though, yes, the NBA is definitely intriguing this year, for some reason, I've just become bored. But I'm trying, though. You know, I've been catching up on my Free Dawkins and GD latest highlights videos, checking them up, been trying to watch a few games, but I don't know, feels like a lot. And now boredom, to be honest with you, has translated into my excitement for the biggest Christmas Day game tomorrow, which is Cavaliers at Warriors. Some of you guys know that I'm a big Cavs fan, Cavs all day. And for as much as I should be excited for this game, I'm not excited. Like, I'm going to be completely honest with you. On a scale of 1 through 10, with, of course, 10 being the most excited, my excitement for this game, to be completely honest, I will say is out of 5. It's out of 5. And it was once out of 3. The only reason it's out of 5 is because of the fact that Kyrie's back, Shump's back, and you know what? This game has some type of value. But even then, that doesn't mean like, oh, I'm going crazy for this game. And I think that this game is some type of foreshadowing of what could happen months later on. Personally, I don't like how the NBA scheduled the Cavs-Warriors games this year. First, you got this matchup on Christmas, which I understand. But to me, it's why have the second matchup less than a month later? You know, I checked the schedule, if I'm correct, the second game in Cleveland is in January. Like, why? Like, have that in March. Like, for me personally, if that game was in March, I would be much more excited for that game and care about it a lot more because of the fact that, okay, around March, you know, the playoffs are nearby. Teams are getting ready for that run in the postseason. So that matters. But December and January, first half of the season, you just naturally don't care about the first half of the season as much as you do the second half of the season. And I think a lot of it is, too, is also, and I'm actually going to give LeBron some credit for his comments last night. And he basically said, like, you know, win or lose, I'm paraphrasing here, but he was like, win or lose, you know, with this game. He said, it's not like we have a lot of time to basically think about this game. Once again, I'm paraphrasing because, you know, we play on Saturday, then we play on Monday, then we play on Tuesday. And I was like, damn, I'm like, LeBron's right. You know, even if the Cavaliers have a great win, it's not like they can just soak in that win for a day or two. Like, the next day you have to go back to business, you know, and this road trip's a key part to the season, you know what I'm saying? So win or lose, you got to move on quickly. And that's something that I actually think is a great thing for the Cavaliers, even though it could lead to a slump. Right, because we already know those road trips, especially going west, they're not easy. They're far from easy. But at the same time, though, I also think that it's a great way to move on from that game for everybody because it feels like Cavs, Warriors played, and one of those teams, especially in the Cavs, let's say after Friday they played Sunday, then maybe a couple days they rest and then play after that. there would have been too much time spent on talking about the Cavaliers in the aftermath of a win or a loss, especially a loss. You know, too many think pieces, all this stuff trying to figure out what's going on. And I'm happy that that's not the case. I'm happy that even if the Cavs do win, it's all right, got to move on. You know, and that's why for me, I think with LeBron's comments and also just looking at it from a standpoint of, okay, first I had questions about health, then looking at where the game's taking place, and then also me being so focused on getting back to the finals and winning, that's why my excitement for this game is at a low. That's why it's at a 5. It was at a 3, but now it's at a 5. You know, that's not to say, like, oh, I wouldn't feel some type of way in the aftermath of the game. Like, if the Cavs win tomorrow, I'm going to be happy. If the Cavs lose tomorrow, I'm going to be, I'm going to be indifferent. But I just don't think this game, even though, yes, it's on Christmas Day and it's the biggest game of the year, I don't think that it's necessarily a big game. I don't think it's a season-defining game. I don't think it's a game that, once again, you can look into it and go, well, you know, this tells us a whole lot about either team. Not really. If Golden State lost tomorrow, what are you going to say about Golden State? Not a goddamn thing. They're going to be 27-2 if they lose tomorrow. You know, if they win, they're 28-1. And even if they win, what does it really say? Like, they're Golden State. They're the best team in the league for a reason. You know what I'm saying? So for me personally, I just really don't think much of the game. I really don't. But enjoy it, basketball fans. Enjoy basketball media. Have fun. Twitter's going to be lit. And that's what I live for at this time of my life, other than friends, family, opportunities, money. It's just seeing the timeline be lit. But let's go ahead and talk about the Christmas Day games. The Christmas Day games, because we might as well. It's about that time. The first game, New Orleans at Miami. That should be a somewhat solid game. You know, of course, you got the Heat, 4 seed in the East, 16-11. This is a team that, you know, they're an intriguing team to watch. You know what I'm saying? Like, you already know about D-Wade. You already know about Bosh. But I think with Miami, when you watch Miami play, you will always get intrigued and wonder about them because of the fact that they do have a supporting cast that could make the difference in the playoff series. Like, am I saying Miami could get to the finals or the conference finals? No. But when you see them play at their best, you do see a team that, to their credit, could be somebody that could knock out a top seed in the East. You know what I'm saying? Or could make that run, because it goes beyond D-Wade and it goes beyond Bosh. It goes to Whiteside. It goes to Dang. It goes to Winslow. It goes to Tyler Johnson. It goes to, again, that supporting cast that they have of guys that can play ball. And with New Orleans, I'm intrigued because this was a team last year that caught people by surprise, and they were on people's radars because they made the playoffs last year. And this is going to lead to my next point that I want to talk about real quick, which is I want to talk about Anthony Davis. Now, before I get into my Anthony Davis piece, do not think I'm trying to be a hater on Anthony Davis. Your boy Arden Sports Talk is not a hater. I appreciate greatness, and I appreciate the opportunity of having the ability to watch Anthony Davis play on any given night. Let me just put that out there. But at the same time, my biggest issue right now is the fact that it appears that Anthony Davis does not get any type of blame or is held accountable. You know, I'm not even going to say blame. My biggest problem is I don't think Anthony Davis gets held accountable enough for his team's failure. We're quick to give him the praise, you know, when New Orleans is doing good and they win games. And I understand that. But at the same time, though, I also feel like, yo, if we're going to give this kid success, the keys to success, shout out to DJ Khaled, and all the happiness and praise for whatever, I don't even know what I'm saying right now, I'm messing up. But if we're basically going to be on them for when the team's doing good, then we have to be on them from the standpoint of when the team's doing bad. And I know we're in a time where, you know, we love giving the younger players or anybody time because we love to get on management for the construction of a team if it's not good, and I completely understand. But at the same time, though, let's keep it in perspective. Once again, this is Anthony Davis. This is a player that we've been hyping up as the next best player in this league. This is a player that we've been hyping up as a top five player. This is a player that was on one of the covers of NBA 2K. This is a cover. This is a kid that $128 million deal he signed in the offseason. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a guy who has these things going for him. So we should rise the expectations for him. And again, I don't want to make it sound like, oh, put all the pressure on him, and even if he doesn't deserve it, put all the blame on him. But I'm just saying, hold him a bit accountable. It's not hard to hold both sides accountable. So the same way you could hold the New Orleans management accountable for maybe not building a great team, it's the same way that you could also hold AD accountable if he's not doing what he's supposed to do as a leader of this ball club, or if he's not playing well. And I know that's hard, because you look at the dude's numbers and you go, dude, he's averaging identical numbers to last year when he was averaging like 24-10 and the shot blocks was like close to 3 a game. I get that, but that's why you watch the games instead of just looking at the numbers, because the numbers don't tell the whole story. You dig what I'm saying? So for me, that's just one thing I'm intrigued by, is just the treatment of Anthony Davis moving forward, and how long is he just going to get a pass for New Orleans failures, when this was a playoff team last year that was expected to do big things, because we all know what the hype about is for Anthony Davis. And truth of the matter is, before I move on from this to talk about the other games, I want to be on the record and say, I told you this was going to happen to him, because he was a league pass darling. To all the league pass nerds, you know, that watch every freaking game on league pass, you know what I'm saying? They were the ones that bigged him up. And I said it. I'm like, it's going to happen to him, because the same thing happened to Kyrie. When you go from being the league pass darling that only a few people could watch to suddenly when everybody could watch, there's going to be things coming your way. Except for Anthony Davis, nothing is coming his way. And very tremendous player he is, don't get me wrong. But I also believe that he should be held somewhat accountable. Even if it's not a lot, just hold him somewhat accountable. It's his team. He's the best player on the floor for New Orleans. He's the difference maker. It doesn't hurt just to hold him accountable a little bit. It's okay. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt you to hold accountable your league pass darling. You dig what I'm saying? You'll be all right. Word to Kendrick Lamar. The next game on the schedule, Chicago at Oklahoma City. I won't be watching this game. I actually won't be watching this game because tomorrow I'm going to see Concussion around the time that the game starts. So, and I had to see freaking Concussion by Will Smith. That movie, from the first time I saw it, of course, with the trailers, I was like, hey, man, I got to go see that. But either way, this is going to be a dope game. D-Rose and Jimmy Butler versus Westbrook and KD. That's going to be a great game, man. That's going to be a great game. And I think if the Bulls could win tomorrow, that could be a very big win for them. Because it feels as if the Bulls, you know, you look at them, you see 15-11, and you think they're going to be all right. But it doesn't feel like things are all right in Chicago. Like, you know, D-Rose not playing. D-Rose is not even playing the way that we expected him last year. Like, you know, at least Rose last year had his moments, you know, where he was like, all right, he could play ball, you know. And it's at the point where, forget just talking about old D. Rose. It was just like, all right, he could hoop a little bit. He could do something. But this year, it's like, I don't know, man. You look at him this year, averaging 13-5. His player efficiency ratings below 10. Shooting 37% from the field. And when I look at his game log, I'll be honest with you. I get a bit sad, you know, when I look at D. Rose's game log. Because I'm looking at it and I see quite a few 4-8 point games. You know what I'm saying? I see quite a few 4-8 point games. I see games where, you know, I see a lot of 30% shooting, 40% shooting, 20-some% shooting. I don't know whether he's trying to get his legs back, but at the same time, it's, I don't know. And then you already know Jimmy Butler doing what he's doing. He's playing some good basketball these days. Salute to him. You know, but I think for the Bulls, they need a win. They really need to win, especially with the whole Jimmy Butler, Coach Harbaugh situation, you know, with his comments. I just think they really need to win, and they need to get back on track fairly soon because the East, like I mentioned earlier, it's really competitive. I mean, you can say what you want because there's a couple teams that you look at in the top eight, top ten, you go, well, they're going to fall out. I mean, who really expected Orlando to be 17-12? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a surprise. But at the same time, you look at everybody else, you already know Cleveland was going to do what it do. You already know Atlanta was going to be fine, Toronto, Miami, Chicago, Indiana. I mean, Detroit, some people actually expected Detroit to be good. So, but at the same time, it's also like you got Boston half game back of eighth, Charlotte's one full game back, the Wizards 2.5 games back, and the Knicks, they're actually 3 full games back. So when you're looking at a team like that and you're just going, should Chicago be better? Who knows? But I think they need a big win. And I think when you look at Oklahoma City, you're seeing a team that, you know, is getting its rhythm together. 3-game winning streak, KD's back. Got a big win over the Clippers, you know, a couple days ago, KD with the game winner. How you like Manal? So that's going to be a fun game to watch. And, you know, in Oklahoma City, I think for Oklahoma City, the best thing that it should do for this season is try to really maintain the top 3 seed. Because nobody's going to catch Golden State. Like, I know San Antonio is 3 games back. I do. I get it. I know they're 3 games back. But San Antonio's not going to catch Golden State either. You know, like, that's just not going to happen. But I think for Oklahoma City, definitely try to focus on maintaining that third seed. You know, you have a 4-game lead on Dallas and the Clippers, 5-game lead on Memphis. You know, and when you look at the West, below, basically there's 5 teams teetering around 500. Teetering around 500 are actually below 500. So if Oklahoma City is even at a point this year where their third seed is threatened by anybody else, shame on them. Even if it's by Dallas or the Clippers, shame on them, because that shouldn't even be the case at all. That should be their seed. It should be on lock, for real. I already talked about Cleveland versus Golden State, so there's no need to touch on that. San Antonio versus Houston. Don't know what's happening with Houston. They're playing better ball, but the fact that they're 15-15 surprises me. But what doesn't surprise me is the fact that the Spurs are 25-5. We're just watching a master at work, man. We're watching a master at work with the Spurs, doing what they do. Kawhi Leonard is turning into a big-time star in this league. And let me just say something, too, man. I'm really sick of you basketball fans and media members out there. Some of you, you guys got to remember, man, we have different labels for stars. I wrote a great article on this, like, what was it, maybe over the past 2 years I wrote an article about this that got a lot of great feedback. They're stars, all-stars, and superstars, man. Not everybody that's turning into a star is suddenly a superstar. Stop it. You know that there's all-star label. You know that there's a star label. And there's nothing wrong with that label. You heard me? Kawhi Leonard is an all-star. For now, like, that's the thing that's bothering me, because to be a superstar, it's like what I said in that article, basically to paraphrase. It's somebody that's completely the best at what they do, face of the franchise, face of the league, you know, and they've been doing it for quite some time now. If we're going to call Kawhi Leonard and others superstars, then what does that make LeBron James and Steph Curry? What does that make Kevin Durant? And no, I don't want to hear, oh, they're another tier superstar. That's BS. And I hate to make it seem like I'm hating on Kawhi, because I'm not. Kawhi Leonard is a legitimate all-star with superstar potential. And I'm loving how San Antonio is really turning it into his team. But I just had to touch on that. You dig what I'm saying? But when I look at the Spurs, like I said before, we're just watching a master at work. Simple as that. And Kawhi Leonard, the fact that it is turning into his team, I think is a beautiful thing. It really is. I think it's a great thing. And I think you're seeing a dude who is really eliminating the whole premise of him being a system player. I don't think he's eliminating the tag system player, because at the end of the day, I know some people, you know, disagree with this, but system players do exist. You know, whether you like it or not, system players do exist. It's what I said before. I remember I went on a little tweet spear about it. Everybody in a way is a system player. Everybody in a way is a system player. Why? Because everybody needs a certain set of things to help them be successful. So that's basically a system. So everybody's a system player. It's just who really fits the idea of a system player, because who's the player that when you watch them play, that you can see that their success is predicated by a system. By the fact that system's putting them in the right spots to succeed, and their teammates, and et cetera, and et cetera. Kawhi Leonard doesn't fit that mold. Kawhi Leonard is somebody that is truly developing into his own type of player. And I think that's a beautiful thing. It's him and Paul George. They're going to take over what it means to be a versatile forward in this league when LeBron's gone. Yes, there's Kevin Durant, but I think those two in particular, because Kawhi Leonard, and it's crazy to think about, but Kawhi Leonard really might be one of the few, and I really want to put the emphasis on few, two-way players in this league. That's, like, legit. Like, Kawhi Leonard really is a two-way player. We have a lot of great one-way players, but Kawhi Leonard is a legit two-way player. You know what I'm saying? And I think this game, I have to double check where the game is. I think it might be in Houston. If it is, who knows? Maybe the Rockets give them a run for their money. But at the same time, I expect the Spurs to get the dub. And, of course, you got the last game of the night being Lakers and Clippers. The Mamba on Christmas Day. The Clippers on Christmas Day. Should be a fun battle, a little razzle-dazzle-dazzle. Can't complain about that at all, playboy. Not at all. This game is going to be basically the Lakers' home court. Both teams, we know, share the arena, but it's going to be on the Lakers' home court. And I think it's going to be a very fun battle. I think it's going to be a very fun battle because we know these LA games could be exciting. And I think it's going to be fun, too, because it's like we know the Clippers got talent, but also Kobe is playing better ball these days. Shout out to the Mamba. You know, the Mamba, full term month of the season, averaging 14 points a game, shooting below 30% from the field and from three. It was sad to see. But now we're looking at Kobe now, this month. Now, granted, are the shooting percentages much better? No. You know, Kobe shooting 38% in December, 29%. From three, but what we're seeing now is we're seeing a Kobe who's had games where his legs are under him. You know, like, for example, in December, 31-point game at Washington, shot 41% from the field, then had a 21-point game, shot 50% from the field, 25-point game, shot 56%, 22-point game, shot 46, another 22-point game, shot 56, 31-point game on Tuesday versus Denver, shot 45. So Kobe's getting games where he's now actually capable of shooting over 40% now, where he could get at least 20-plus points. Whereas going back to opening night and throughout November, Kobe Bryant actually only had, if I'm looking at the numbers, were only two games where he scored at least 20 points. And he actually had one game throughout the entire time, actually two games, where he shot at least 40%. And we know with the Clippers, they're still trying to figure out who they are. But with that said, you already know Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre, and you got the Mamba playing better ball. And shout out to D'Angelo Russell for playing better ball these days, man. Shout out to him. I'm happy that he's starting to get it going a little bit. But other than that, man, that's today's episode of the Snatchback Podcast. Thank you for listening. I hope this holiday break for you and yours goes tremendously well. I hope you bring in the new year in style. Like I told you before, man, new episode of the Football Jones is coming to you this Sunday live, of course, on Blog Talk Radio. YouTube channel's getting a new video next week. Appreciate you guys listening to the show as usual. I really do. Enjoy the Christmas Day games. Enjoy your break. You already know, man. It's your boy, Hardest Sports Talk coming to you live from the Four Side. I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.